This parable was undoubtedly told to make people upset, to make people confused. And it works for us too. It offends our sense of fairness. It also, hopefully, helps us step outside of our expectations, to step outside of the programming that we have within us, placed there by the world around us. So you heard the story. In the parable, a landowner hires day laborers, and this was an increasing thing in Jesus's day. Roman taxes were forcing people to go into debt. And so when they went into debt to pay the taxes and then couldn't pay the debt back, they would lose their lands. And so families shifted from being independent farmers to day laborers. Day laborers did not have the economic security of those who owned their own land. Generally, day laborers worked from dawn to sunset, a long day of work in the sun. But on the whole, they were glad to get it, given that the alternative was to see their children going hungry. In today's parable, the landowner hires day laborers early and then hires more later and more later still, and others at almost the very close of the day. The expectation of the laborers is that they will be paid commensurate to the amount of work they put in. So when the workers who put in only an hour got a full day's wage, those who worked 12 hours were expecting a great deal more than a day's wage, even though that was all that was promised to them when they were hired. Had those first hired workers been the only ones hired and received the pay they agreed to, or if those hired later were paid less than a day's wage, then the first hired workers would have thought it fair. But when others who worked much less got the same pay, they were, naturally, upset. It wasn't fair. And I think most of us would agree with those workers. It wasn't fair. English is an imprecise language. Unless we know the context, we really don't have much of an idea of what it means when someone says that they love us. And even if we know the context, it can be tricky. The same is true for the word justice. In English, there are two very different ideas of justice. One idea has to do with paying debts. Our economic system is built on paying debts. Our whole legal system is about paying debts. Crime is thought of as a debt to the social order incurred by someone's actions. Police, courts, prisons are means of collecting the debt to society incurred by breaking society's rules. Lawyers on television encourage people who are harmed in an accident to use legal services to get what they are owed. This is retributive justice, and it is an essential part of any system of domination-based order. Such justice is nominally about fairness. But it's fairness within the boundaries set down by those with the power of dominating authority. There's another kind of justice. We experience it in the Bible, and we can call it distributive justice. This justice is about an equitable distribution of rights and resources. Equity, not equality. This is a concept that can be difficult for us, and our objection to this kind of justice is a measure of how much our worldview is influenced by the system of thought and practice which continues to rule our world. In today's parable, those who worked 12 hours and those who worked an hour got the same pay. Obviously, the goal is not fairness. It's about the needs of people. Workers and their families depended on their daily wage. The focus of the landowner, is on meeting those needs, not on fairly rewarding hard work. Economic fairness is about dividing resources fairly, but what does that mean? Who decides? Should more go to investors than workers? Should people who work in offices get paid more than people working on the factory floor? And what about the people who cannot work? What should fairly go to them? Humanity has a long history of taking resources and claiming them for some people and denying others access. And usually, when we do so, we have some reason why such actions are fair. And within our civilization, there's always been the idea that resources belong to the people with the power to claim and hold them. Whenever we apply the idea of fairness, it is accompanied with the idea of some limit. We seek fairness for those like us. We seek fairness within a particular set of national or corporate boundaries. We seek fairness for humans, but not for nature. We seek fairness for humans living now, and not for humans in the future. Much of the work for justice is work centered in the idea of fairness. And certainly it's better to have a fair system than an unfair one. But Jesus was trying to awaken us to something radically different. In our faith tradition, God is the landowner. And like the landowner in today's parable, God's idea of how best to use those resources has little to do with common ideas about fairness. Right now, the Auto Workers Union is striking for better wages. Given the profits of the industry, the salaries of CEOs, and the wage history of recent years, a large pay increase for workers there seems fair. But what about workers in less profitable areas? Should the auto workers and the rest of us strike for better pay for childcare workers or public school teachers? Should we all take action to make sure that workers all over the world are paid a living wage? Or people anywhere in the world have the basics they need to live healthy lives, whether they have jobs or not? Many seeking racial justice talk about reparations for past wrongs. To compensate people for past harm is to fairly repay a debt owed to them. But God's distributive justice is less concerned with paying debts of the past for some and more concerned with ending present and future suffering for all. God's equitable justice insists that the current social, political, economic system must be radically altered to provide an ongoing, equitable distribution of rights and resources to everyone. Conservatives generally worry about justifying and enhancing the inequitable distribution of rights and resources. Liberals worry about a more fair division of the spoils of the violent and exploitative order which we call civilization. We, as people of faith, are called to a radically different standard. Rather than focusing on individualized profits for some, the realm of God is about seeking sufficient resources for a healthy life for everyone. And yes, that includes strangers, enemies, and all those deemed unworthy. Rather than attending to the desires of those who have more than they need, it is about tending to the needs of those who are suffering. Rather than having workers comparing themselves to CEOs, it's about comparing ourselves to those who lack the basics of life. Our faith tradition follows the story of the slaves who escaped, not the realists who said escape was impossible. Our story follows the motley crew of those who followed the prophet from Nowheresville, seeking the realm of God, not those realists in Jerusalem who sought to accommodate themselves to the Roman Empire. We have lots of examples in the Bible to guide a journey towards faithful equity, but there is no proven model for how to make that work happen. And because there is no proven model, many people say it is unrealistic. But we also have in the Bible a metaphor coming out of the Exodus story, the metaphor of a wilderness journey. And in Christianity, we have the notion of a community that is on the way. These are metaphors that empower us to believe that we don't have to figure everything out before we take faithful steps towards a goal. But we do have to know the truth that guides us, and we do have the courage, we have to have the courage to follow that challenging truth. God's equity is the means to break down all the barriers humanity has erected to limit the depth of God's justice. Fairness is an eye for an eye. God calls on us to forgive and even love our enemies. Fairness is about paying debts. God calls on us to forgive our debt, to forgive our debtors. Faithfulness calls on us to seek more than fair wages. God calls on us to seek to make sure that everyone has what they need to live healthy lives. We start with the belief that everything belongs to God, which is part of our biblical tradition. And then we add to that the other part of our tradition, which says that God is love and that God's love extends to everyone. And from those two premises, we can build a different world. I've walked many picket lines with workers, and there's no reason to stop supporting fairness, but there is a greater need to give voice and energy to a greater vision. Ultimately, everything belongs to God, and God's love extends to all. It is a logic that leads to the shocking outcome of today's parable. It is the truth that challenges us every day. Today's text was meant to shake us up, but our role here and now is not merely to be the people shaken enough to see beyond our expectations. Our role is to be those who proclaim the truth that shakes the world. We're called to be the ones telling such parables with our words and our actions, the ones who find ways to point to a promised land, to the realm of God, a place where God's love is the foundation for human civilization. This hope is God's gift to us, a gift to be shared with the world. Being nice, being open-minded, seeking minor revisions in our social order is not enough to face down the increasing violence and inequity of our world. Being liberal is not enough. Our faith, like this parable, shakes us and our world to its core. Only then can the radically different direction of the power of the love of God be revealed. The truth of this challenging and disorienting parable is ours. It is a gift to share with our lives. Amen.